Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, and delighted to welcome Brent Hunter, author of The Rainbow Bridge. To get a feeling of the content and importance of this book, listen to an endorsement written for Brent Hunter's book. The Rainbow Bridge highlights a common theme, the need to cultivate inner values like love and compassion if we are to create a happier, more peaceful world. This commonality is the main reason why we can say that the core essence of all the world's major religions are the same, and that they should coexist harmoniously in the service of humanity. I believe that readers who are interested in love, kindness, inner peace, and a better world may find much in this book to inspire them. And that's written by H.H. the 14th Dolly. Hello, Brent.
Yes, hello, Cheryl. How are you?
Very good today. And Brent, as listeners of Healing From Within are well aware, the theme of all my shows emphasize the need to recognize once again the divine spark of creation, oneness, unity, love, and our personal power to connect to that higher source through new perspectives of ancient wisdom, spiritual practices, and religions, and to awaken to the possibilities for accessing these divine inner qualities individually to live a more conscious and fulfilling physical life. In today's episode, you and I will discuss how over time, our natural inclination to bridge the gap between our inner and outer worlds help us recognize that separation, illusion, disappointment and world crises have stifled many people from working on their inner life to correct or refine themselves. We will talk about universal principles and practical understandings of virtues such as love, friendship, compassion, patience, and a host of other issues we deal with on a daily basis, always looking for ways to be a better version of ourselves and a way to have a happier, healthy life journey. Brent, I'm sure you had a very interesting earlier life, and as most of the people who are interested in these metaphysical studies have, and you have said you have spent much of your life pursuing a spiritual path, engaged in the process of becoming. Can you please tell us of any early challenges and any early extraordinary experiences you'd like to share with us?
Sure. So I think, Cheryl, the first challenge was just growing up. Let me just tell you about my background. My mother was born and raised in Turkey, so she's 100% Muslim. And my father is Jewish, but he and my mother raised us, me and my two sisters, as Christians. And to make it even more confusing, my father was also very, very interested in Buddhism and in meditation, and specifically transcendental meditation. So interested was he in that he brought me and my two sisters to learn how to do TM. I was 12 years old when he brought us in, and we learned how to do that. So from a very early age, I've been exposed to multiple religions and cultures. And so really, it kind of started out by trying to figure out what's it all about, you know. And when you have one system saying you have to believe in such and such, otherwise if you don't believe in this, then you're going to go to hell. And
Brent, it does create a lot of fear. And we don't want to create fear. The purpose of religion or any spiritual practice is to create a feeling of comfort in our physical world and a knowing that there is more than what exists that we can see with our five senses. And I think you had the best approach to understanding all these different religions so that you could come to realize that they're all pretty much the same. We're all approaching, perhaps in a little different way, the same reality, that we do come from one universal source, and upon leaving this life, we do return to that same essence or place. I, as a medium, believe that wholeheartedly. And I think it was great that you had that experience. And I think we would recommend to people nowadays that they should study many religions, many ancient practices, right?
Absolutely. It can only benefit you. Any kind of education can only be helpful. But yeah, when you start studying each of the different major world's religions and wisdom traditions, yeah, that's what you find out, is that there's much, much more commonality than there is differences.
Absolutely. And at this time, with so much dissension in the world and so much separatism and so many people in their belief systems unable to reach out, they're just living in so much fear. Fear of losing something. But really, there's nothing to lose. There's only something to gain when you reach out and learn more about the people around you and the world around you and the world beyond here. So let's go on to, what exactly is the Rainbow Bridge and why did you choose that title?
Sure. Well, so the Rainbow Bridge came to be in a meditation. And this was actually after, just very briefly, this is after I was running a business for several years, and it was a large multi-million-dollar internet online community from 1994 until 2001. And during the course of running that business, I ran into quite a few extraordinary challenges, extremely stressful situations and challenges. And during that period of time, I was writing down all of the most important pieces of wisdom that I was using and that I felt was really important. And so I had to shut the operation down in 2001. And sometime shortly after that, I was in a meditation, and it just came to me that what I was documenting was the common ground that's found within all of the world's major wisdom traditions. And so this common ground can be viewed as universal principles. And so this word, the Rainbow Bridge, came into my meditation as a way of showing how this incredible bridge can bridge the gap between religions, between races, between cultures, between ages, between genders. It's almost like this completely multidimensional bridge. And, of course, the Rainbow Bridge, also the concept of a bridge, right?
Yes.
One place to another. So any kind of bridge is a very powerful concept. And then the word rainbow, the Rainbow Bridge, rainbow refers to out of many, many different colors, it forms a single rainbow. So the whole concept of many different colors coming into unity.
You wrote that the concept of a rainbow, and this is correct, is universal. Wherever in the world you will see a rainbow, it is a universal happening.
And it
represents a multitude of uplifting colors, creating ultimately a single bridge of color or white light. Now, I'm an energy healer. I'm a Reiki practitioner, and I work with the chakras, which are the energy points of the body, and they can be visualized as spinning wheels of light that merge and give off the different colors, and they are the colors of the rainbow: red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, or a deep purple, actually, and then ultimately at the crown chakra, white light. And when these chakras are working well in a person's body, they flow and merge into each other, raising us up to a higher level of connection to universal energy, and it is a white light. So I liked that very much when I read that, because I believe these are the signs. Like a rainbow is the sign of something beautiful from spirit connecting us all to everything in nature and each other. I love the concept of the bridge. And you also have a reference to Michael Jackson, who created a music video, Can You Feel It? Remember, we wrote that in there. And he used this concept of the bridge, the Rainbow Bridge. And I have a little synchronicity with you here. When my son Greg was about 5 years old, he was in a Zest soap commercial, and his line was, I can feel it. I looked at the water like a bridge flowing over him, and I heard those words. It was just so exhilarating to observe, and this is before I was aware of many of these principles and trained in Reiki. So I just thought I'd bring that right in there.
Yeah, I just wanted to say one of the interesting things about the Rainbow Bridge is that I just described to you kind of why I chose those words and how it came to me in a meditation. But as I wrote this book, and by the way, this book that we're talking about is on its fourth edition, published this year in 2014. It's been 13 years since the first edition was published. And during the course of those 13 years, I have been amazed at how many different references there are to the Rainbow Bridge all around the world. And different kinds of references. So as you just mentioned, for example, you know, Michael Jackson did this music video where he literally was lifting a rainbow in the air, and it was about bridging the gap and uniting people to build a better world. Jimi Hendrix had a movie called The Rainbow Bridge. There are Rainbow Bridge festivals that are taking place around the world. There are Rainbow Bridge stores and hotels. There are two major motion pictures that feature the Rainbow Bridge in it. Einstein talked about the Einstein-Rosen Bridge, which is another term for a Rainbow Bridge. It's really quite fascinating, as I've done research over the years, about how many different references there are to the Rainbow Bridge. And again, it's really quite interesting. It feels to me like what's happening is the Rainbow Bridge is spontaneously arising from the heart of humanity, literally all over the world.
And I believe it's the truth. And I don't think you had an awareness of the Rainbow Bridge and in its entirety when you picked that title or started the book.
Exactly.
It's over time you became more and more aware of the universal connection and the way we want to move and evolve as a humanity in the 21st century. It's time for us to have this bridge between each of us and between nations and between worlds beyond here. So let's clarify for a minute. The Rainbow Bridge is also between us and our beloved people and even pets that may have passed away that we love so much. I believe you write this. And between us and all other living beings, and between earth and heaven, and between the physical world and the etheric world, between who we think we are and who we truly are, between the left and right sides of our brain, between the present and the future.
Correct, yes. There's so many different ways of visualizing this bridge. Now, the book focuses on the subtitle of the book is Bridge to Inner Peace and to World Peace. So I do mention all of these different references, including the ones you just mentioned, to the Rainbow Bridge, but then the main focus is a bridge to our own inner peace, and using the common ground that's found within the world's major wisdom traditions, this is also known as universal principles. So the second half of the book talks about how do we use universal principles in a way to literally create a bridge to our future, to create a bridge to a better world.
Yeah, well, how do you define universal principles, and how may the use of these energy principles improve our health, our life issues, and the means for progress in all areas of our life?
Mm-hmm. Well, so what I'm calling universal principles are these principles that are found within all of the world's major wisdom traditions, all the world's major religions. And regardless of what religion you believe in or don't believe in, these principles transcend and yet include and honor all world religions. And so these universal principles are concepts that really apply to every single person. And it's very interesting because they even apply to people who are atheists. I have a couple friends who are atheists, and they just love the Rainbow Bridge. It gives them a way of thinking about our lives in a way that's, you know, pretty inspiring, is what they tell me. So the universal principles can be used to create this. By using the universal principles, we can move ourselves to greater and greater states of inner peace and tranquility within our own heart and mind. And that is so important, because if we were to talk about world peace, we would be incomplete unless we started with ourselves.
Yes, personal peace within ourselves. So these ideas also encourage us to have greater courage, develop our intuition or our inner knowing and connection to this higher wisdom, and trust, and to, most importantly, conquer the fears of the outside world, which often separate us from our true potential as energetic and eternal human beings. So I think all the religions hope to show us a way to do this, but it's a very personal journey, and it takes a great deal of personal responsibility to do the inner work to incorporate these universal principles into loving ourselves more, life more, appreciating friendship, and developing greater compassion, kindness, and also an understanding of perhaps death or life after death and unconditional love. So the next question would be here. You describe death and life after death as you have personally discovered it to be. Can you tell us some of your observations on that?
Well, the whole concept of life and death, for me, there's many different meanings. As a matter of fact, one of the things I say about reading The Rainbow Bridge is that I encourage people to read it multiple times, because every time you read it, you may actually start to see things in slightly different ways. So one of the most important concepts, I feel, is the whole concept that life changes. Changes take place every single moment, and we're dying and rebirthing ourselves in every nanosecond, every breath that we take. And so that is one way of looking at life and death, and it's really profoundly, it's very, very profound and extremely powerful, because, first of all, to the extent that we can recognize that life does change, and to embrace the change as opposed to run away from it, or worse yet, to be afraid of any kind of change, it's really, really important. So
I think people who have a great deal of inner growth come to be at peace and realize the cycles in life and the changes, and that actually these changes are very good. Well, we don't have to consider good or bad, actually. We just have to consider ourselves as gatherers of experience. But yes, these changes offer us opportunities to change our perspectives. And by doing that, we grow into more complete human and spiritual beings. And we're more comfortable with ourselves and with life in general. So I would think that once you conquer your fear of death or dying, and you feel that there is something more beyond this time and place, I would guess you're very much more at comfortable with yourself. I'm a medium, so I give people proof all the time that we are more than we appear to be, and that our loved ones are around us, and all we need to do is think of them. And as you get sensitive to energy through meditation and through other practices, you can begin to feel that shift in energy immediately, and you know it to be true. So, but it takes work. It takes effort and consistency and practice and wanting to do it. It's not for everyone, and if not in this time and place, everyone eventually is on the same road and the same journey. We're all on a spiritual journey, whether we admit to it or not. And what is a spiritual journey? It's only learning more about ourselves and the possibilities for creating ourselves in new ways and enjoying life in different ways. So how do you think the ego or our physical life serves us? And what are the dynamics of the ego?
Well, that's actually a very long conversation, but I'll try to distill it. The ego, sometimes people say, well, you have to get rid of your ego if you really want to be at peace. I don't quite look at it like that. I think that the ego is a very natural and very important part of being a human. To me, the way I like to look at the dynamics of the ego is that rather than thinking that the ego has to be slayed or killed, the ego really needs to be transformed. So when we talk about people who are egotistical, generally we're talking about somebody who's self-centered, right? Only thinking about themselves.
Yes.
And that's a hallmark of the ego. But we can transmute, we can alter the ego, so that rather than being focused exclusively on ourself, we have this experience take place where it's transformed, so that the ego is actually centered on other people and society at large. And I think that's a really important way of looking at it.
Yes, absolutely. So we want to merge our human life, which is our ego, our mind, our thoughts, our fears, and we want to transform it and bring it in conjunction with our heart or soul energy into balance, so we can have the best of all worlds, our spiritual world and our physical world, and then we're going to be more comfortable with everything around us. Now, Brent, you write, while times of change can be painful, upsetting, frightening, or disappointing, everything is for our own development as individuals and collectively, and to help us awaken to discover what true freedom is, to live in the present moment. And this goes along with what we were saying, to expect changes. You give a very nice butterfly parable. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. Well, it's, the butterfly, the experience, really the miracle of a caterpillar transforming completely physically into a butterfly is really amazing. It literally is a real-world miracle, and we tend sometimes not to really think about it that way, but it's extremely profound and powerful. And we can use that same metaphor to understand what is happening in our own lives, if we are, to the extent that we're open to it. So, in other words, somebody that is being introspective and thoughtful about their life and wanting more and continually wanting to learn about themselves and about others and about our place in the universe, the whole notion that we can use these universal principles to guide us into the future that we wish to go in, either as an individual person in our own lives, in terms of our friendships or relationships, or whether or not, you know, you can use this information as well in terms of your career, and certainly in terms of the big picture as well, using universal principles to help create a better world. So those are a couple ideas of how we can use the universal principles to help affect a change within ourselves and a change
and around us. And other people benefit from the vibration of this energy that we give off in a loving way. And as we become more accomplished people, they benefit from it also.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so we sort of sharing energy a lot of the time.
It's true, yeah. And I think I just kind of got off track a little bit about the butterfly. I just want to come back to that because it's so powerful. When we recognize that, if you imagine yourself being a caterpillar and going through this experience of literally turning into a butterfly, there's this period of time when you're in this chrysalis and your body physically is disintegrated. So when the being is in the chrysalis, it's actually, there's a point in time where it's actually not a caterpillar anymore. Why is it not a caterpillar? Because its body is disintegrated. It's sort of like this soupy mush, basically. And in that period of time when it's in the chrysalis, it's not a caterpillar anymore. It's literally transforming, and gradually it turns into this butterfly with wings.
So it's very important to allow this chrysalis to stay in that state until it's ready to go forward and become the butterfly or change into the beautiful creature or being that it is, because we can hurt it if we try to force change on it when it's not ready. And people are the same way. If we try to bring our wisdom and knowledge or love of life, and they're going through their own issues, we can cause damage. So it's very important to allow everyone the ability to grow at their own pace.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's why I like that story so much, because it can be related to people we're dealing with on a day-to-day basis. And some of the people we deal with are not interested in some of the things you and I are talking about right now. And if they could be interested in some of these things, they can improve certain conditions, their health, their relationships, their work experiences, and have greater prosperity. But yet we must allow everyone the opportunity to learn and to perhaps fumble or fall if that's part of their life plan, right?
Absolutely. It's very important. And I give an example about how when the butterfly is in the chrysalis, it's very tightly wound. If you imagine that you're this being that's turning into a butterfly, you're just wrapped up in this tight chrysalis. And you might feel like, well, I want to get out of this chrysalis. I want to get out. I want to start flying around. But the process of the chrysalis constricting around the wings and literally forcing the blood to the ends of the wings, that is what allows the wings to actually grow into wings. And in fact, if you were to, you know, to your point about, you know, allowing the butterfly to take its own time, if you were to try to open up that chrysalis before the time is ready, you would actually damage it. It would be really bad for the butterfly because, first of all, it wouldn't be able to fly because the blood was never forced to the ends of the wings and it would never be able to use the wings. And I suspect that there may be some other equally important dynamics taking place physically as well. So yeah, the whole point that you bring up is very important, and I just love the whole concept of the caterpillar turning into a butterfly because it has so many different ramifications. And I also think it's a very accurate way of looking at ourselves. Internally, there's this internal process of transformation that can take place over time. With a butterfly, you can see it physically. When the human transformation is something you can't necessarily see so much physically, but very definitely a huge transformation can take place internally.
Well, so these transformations within people are equally important. So there will be times in life when we're practicing these wonderful concepts, as we're talking about here, and that we realize that love is a very active process that requires time and energy. And it's important for us to take care of ourselves and to meet our own needs, because the only person who can truly know what decision to make in any situation is ourselves. And we're going to allow ourselves to do that, and we're going to allow others to have that same dynamic. I want to thank you, Brent Hunter, for the wonderfully readable and authentic book, The Rainbow Bridge, which offers readers a concise, clear, articulate view of the universal principles of energy and the means to understand how they and each individual is capable of being part of a worldwide effort to be conscious creators for the 21st century. Please go to therainbowbridge.org. In summarizing today's episode of Healing from Within, Brent and I have shared the open-ended laws of universal energy and many thoughts that inspire our personal journey and perhaps your personal journey. When mastered and practiced consistently, these views and understandings may lead a person to peace, well-being, harmony, and a way to know themselves better, relate to others lovingly, and to honor God, man, and nature. There is a way towards conscious evolution in the 21st century. As Brent writes, we live in a completely infinite, totally open-ended universe. With the advent of the internet, literally billions of people around the world can be linked and communicate with one another instantaneously. This miraculous capability, along with further advances in technology, means that we have the ability to consciously focus our attention and intention to mutually co-create anything we want to create, individually and collectively. There is no limit when we marry technology with universal principles and heart-based, positively focused intentions. Life in the 21st century is fundamentally different than any other time in our history. It is beneficial to remind ourselves that we live in a new era because it really makes a difference in how we think, what we expect, and what we believe will unfold now and in the future. A major aspect of life in the 21st century is the conscious evolution of our species. Brent and I would leave you with this thought. We all have the inner connection to universal spirit, and in a world of infinite possibilities and choices, we must take personal responsibility to live in a cooperative and unified position, helping all. We hope many ultimately will find freedom, peace, love, and a greater appreciation of the gift of life. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and welcome you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, where you may tap into the conscious energy of the leaders in the World Movement for Conscious Living. Also go to WebTalkRadio.net and DreamVisions7Radio.com. Thank you.
Thank you.